All right, guys, I am your host, Aaron Freeman, and today we are talking a little bit more about the importance of the preseason and whether or not it really does indicate regular season success.
You are Locked On Falcons, your daily podcast on the Atlanta Falcons, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So guys, you know me, I've covered the Falcons at FalcFans.com for over a decade. You can find me on Twitter at FalcFans, and of course, I am the host of this illustrious Locked On Falcons podcast. Today, we're going to take a little bit of a deeper dive into the whole notion of how predictive, how important the preseason is. I addressed this last Thursday's episode, I believe it was. And I'm going to readdress it again today just because I got an interesting email from one of our listeners, a former Fan Talk guest of this podcast named Andy Steven. We had Andy on back in early May. He was giving his insights and his thoughts and his experience of going to the draft this past year in Dallas firsthand. You can go check out that episode wherever you find, you know, wherever you subscribe to the Locked On Falcons podcast. But he sent in an interesting email to me over the weekend that basically sort of push back against the notion I talked about on Thursday where the preseason basically doesn't matter. He shared his thoughts, and I will read that email and sort of do my rebuttal to him live on this podcast. But, you know, we're talking about this because, to be honest with you, I don't really have anything else to talk about. Like, you know, some stuff happened with the Falcons over the weekend. You know, if we're going to go through and parse through Dan Quinn's post game press conferences or each thing that people tweeted out about the practices and whatnot. But, you know, I don't necessarily, there's nothing profound or overly interesting, at least from my perspective, in doing that. So it's kind of hard for me to basically turn 20 minutes of compelling podcasting based off of like two or three tweets or two or three sound bites. You know, maybe in the future there will be some of that stuff because we are running out of content to fill in between these preseason games. But for now, you know, as we get geared up for this upcoming Jets preseason action on Thursday, this is what we're going to talk about today. So we'll see what happens on the rest of the episodes this week. And I'm sure we will talk once again more about the preseason. But again, as I said last Thursday, we will talk sort of specific things I'm looking for and in Thursday night's action against the Jets in terms of, like, I want to see this from this player or I want to see this from this player or those sorts of things. So let me get that out of the way first and foremost. And speaking of Fan Talks, because we had one with Andy a couple months ago, let me get this out of the way as well. If you're interested in doing a Fan Talk, then by all means, email me at lockedonfalcons@mail.com. Some of you guys emailed me back in June about doing Fan Talks. And we haven't done one in a while, and part of that has been I wanted stuff to actually start happening in training camp before we had people back on to basically do the endless speculations that we were doing, like the last couple of Fan Talks. No offense to those people, but we just sort of were rehashing what were this person's perspective on the Falcons offseason and draft picks as opposed to anything else. And like to me, after you've done that two or three times, or more times, it kind of gets a little bit repetitive and dull. And I like to, you know, give you guys, I want every episode to feel like it's not just a repeat of previous episodes. As I say, we're going to talk more about preseason expectations. So, you know, throw that out the window, I guess. But what I will say is for those people that emailed me back in June about doing Fan Talks this summer, you should be getting an email from me this week about sort of scheduling another one of rescheduling that for later this month so that we can actually do these after the Falcons have played their first preseason and subsequent preseason games so that we can actually have something interesting to talk about what the team is doing on the field or maybe some position battles that you're curious about and those types of things. And if you're one of those people that emailed me and said you wanted to do one this summer thinking that you were going to do one in June or July, and now that we're getting inching closer to the regular season, you want to say, hey, Aaron, I would prefer to wait and be one of the first people to do a Fan Talk once we actually get to September and real games matter. And again, this is something that I'm hoping that we can continue to do each week of the regular season as the schedule allows. And so if you want to do that, then by all means, just let me know. And if you wind up sending me a new email saying that you want to do a fan talk, but you want to hold off until the regular season starts, then by all means, let me know. Again, just give me your contact information, your availability. If you have a Skype account, give me your username or whatnot. If you don't, then doesn't matter. Just give me a phone number. That works just as fine. So I just wanted to say that up front so that you guys know that, you know, one of the reasons we'll be able to fight some of this, you know, content drought, I guess. I don't know what you would call it a little bit this summer as, you know, we'll have some future fan talks or whatever. So just wanted to get that out of the way. So let's read Andy's email now that we've got all that preamble out of the way. So Andy says, you had said you can't infer too much from the preseason. I agree with you to an extent, and that is in that all that is paramount is health. But I do feel seeing how the first team defense and offense play, groupings on special team and playing time in the later stages of games 1 and 3 can show you something. I am not saying to have a microscopic focus on things and overreact, but you want to see starters play fairly well in a vanilla setting. In years where the team has been really bad, the first team offense and defense usually look bad in the preseason. Winning the preseason games and the better play by the back of the roster masked the truth and led to optimism that proved to be unfounded in the regular season. I don't put too much weight on the games, especially winning them, but it is something to watch and see. Avoiding overanalysis is the key, in my opinion. I agree with the gist of what you're saying, Andy. I do think I think it is important to see what the team looks like. However, I don't quite agree that what the team looks like has any indication on what they will look like when the regular season starts. And I don't quite agree with your notion that the team has, in the years where the team has been bad, they have also looked bad in the preseason. Maybe that is true. I think it's very hit miss. I think it's literally a toss up what the team looks like in the preseason and then what they're going to look like in the regular season. We have seen teams that were good in the regular season look really bad in the preseason. We have seen the opposite. We have seen some combination of one of those things. And so, it's really a toss-up. And when you look back at the last 3 years in the Dan Quinn era, and maybe 3 years is not a good enough sample size. I know statistically it's not. And maybe if I did a 10-year study, it would make more sense. But it's interesting when you look back at the last three summers and look at the performance, particularly looking at the starters in the preseason, and you go back to 2015 and you look at the offense. In the first two preseason games, starting with the Titans, and I can't remember who the second game was against, but the Falcons starters played three possessions in those first two games, and they went 3 for 3 scoring touchdowns in those first two preseason games. And then we saw in the third preseason game, they got utterly dismantled by the Dolphins. Ryan was sacked 3 times on 4 possessions, and we saw them basically revamp the Falcons' offensive line thereafter with the Lavitre trade and picking up and cutting Joe Hawley and all those sorts of things and getting the great Geno Gradkowski as well and Ben Garland as well. But and then you look at the defensive side of the ball, the Falcons didn't give up any points in the first two games. And then the Dolphins only managed 1 score in the first half of their game against the Falcons starters that week. So overall, outside of that Dolphins game, the Falcons looked really sharp, at least their starters did in the 2015 season on both sides of the ball. But then you saw going into that season, the Falcons offense kind of start well, reasonably well, and then sort of peter out and was one of the worst offenses we've had in the Matt Ryan era, and really in a very long time, when you judge that season as a whole. So you couldn't necessarily glean that from basically how the preseason started out. Then you fast forward to 2016, and in the first and third preseason games, they faced the Redskins and Dolphins respectively, and the offense really struggled in those two games. They really struggled. Now, in the second game against the Browns, they had a pretty strong outing against the Browns. Now, you look at the defense, They were fine in one possession against the Redskins, the starters were. And they gave up a couple of big plays and a couple of scores against the Browns in that second game. And then they gave up one score in the one half of play in that third game against the Dolphins. So you had an offense that really struggled for the most part outside of one game against the Browns in 2016. And then you had a defense that for the most part looked pretty solid outside of one game, that Browns game that season. And then you correspond that to what actually happened in the regular season, and they played absolutely amazing on offense, and their defense was very suspect for a large portion of the season, at least three quarters, and you can argue, you know, all the way until the very end of that season in February that they were very suspect, but, you know, that's a conversation for another day. But fast forward into 2017, you go through the first two preseason games against the Dolphins and Steelers. The Falcons' offense looked pretty sharp in those first two games on their limited possessions. But then you get the third game against the Cardinals, they struggled. And they were barely able to move the ball, you know, past the 50-yard line for in about a quarter plus of action. Defensively, they had 2-3 and outs against the Steelers. They think they gave up one touchdown against the Dolphins in that first preseason game last summer. And that was mostly against, I think, the Dolphins' second team, but the Falcons' starters were still in the game. And then they gave up a touchdown and created a turnover against the Cardinals in like one quarter of action in that third preseason game. So they gave up like basically two touchdowns in like six possessions, six series over the summer. So again, another strong summer for the Falcons' defense, relatively speaking, and a relatively good summer for the Falcons, at least until that third preseason game. And I guess what I'm sort of painting the picture is, like, if you're trying to read a pattern into that, you really can't read one into it. Two summers that the Falcons offense looked mostly sharp for at least two of the three preseason games that we're counting. We're not really talking about the fourth preseason game for, I think, what should be obvious reasons, since those are mostly backups that are playing in that game. You know, the two summers where the Falcons offense looked pretty sharp in the two out of the three preseason games, but notably struggled in that third preseason game, their offense that season proved to be pretty inconsistent. And so then you might conclude, well, that means that the, you know, the third preseason game is somewhat indicative of the fact that the offense in the regular season didn't necessarily play to the levels that we sort of expected it to based off of the previous preseason games. But then how do you explain the 2016 season? Because they once again struggled in the third preseason game and also struggled in some of the earlier games as well. And then you had that offense really exploding that season. So I think in reality, if you're trying to draw a conclusion, at least over the Dan Quinn era, when looking at the Falcons offense in particular, the only conclusion that is kind of legitimate, at least somewhat legitimate, is one like the worse the team looks in the preseason, generally the better they're going to look in the regular season. And the better they look in the preseason, at least offensively, the more inconsistent and lackluster they're going to look in the regular season. And defensively, the team has consistently looked pretty good over the course of the last three summers in the preseason. And, you know, I think they've at, you know, doing the math, they've allowed maybe roughly three touchdowns and 10 or so quarters of play over the last three summers. And you've had like two subpar performances out of nine in that span. But yet when we get into the regular season, the defense is for the most part average to below average in all 3 years. So I just think it's really hard. There is no real pattern. At least the conclusion I have from that is there is no real pattern to it. There is nothing that you can really glean from the preseason at all, or at least should try, at least in terms of being predictive of regular season success, as I've said before. And yes, I think it's interesting to see how the team performs, you know, particularly the starters in some of these games, but I don't think anybody should be trying to draw conclusions about them. And we'll touch upon that a little bit more in a bit. But I do want to plug Locked On Braves podcast with host Nabias Wilborn, who you can find contributing Braves content to The Athletic as well as the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. So I think, you know, this lesson of don't read too much into the preseason, I don't think I necessarily fully grasped until after 2016. And I'll explain why I had this sort of sea change in my perspective in a bit. But I do want to reiterate the point I'm trying to make is, to me, and here's a bold prediction, is if the Falcons come out this upcoming week against the Jets, or in this will apply to every subsequent preseason opponent they face this summer, but particularly this week, if they come out and play really well, you know, if the starters get a series and go down the field and score a touchdown, you're going to get probably two main narratives. All right. One of the narratives is going to be from the crazies that are the pro Sark guys. They're not crazy. They're just, you know, exuberant. And what they'll basically, their narrative is going to be, see, I told you Sark and the offense just needed time, and this is a sign of things to come. Then you'll get the other narrative, which will probably be the pervasive narrative, the bigger narrative, because again, the pro-Sark people are a vocal minority of Falcon fans, it would seem. But the more pervasive and widespread narrative you'll see, should the Falcons have a good offensive performance against the Jets, at least their starters, what you'll see is then this sort of narrative. I can already picture the articles and whatnot being written is, well, the preseason doesn't matter, but this is a sign of promising things to come for the Falcons offense and blah, 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 blah. Right. So they'll give that little caveat of like, shouldn't read too much into the preseason, but for these next 300 words of this article, I'm going to read into something that happened in the preseason. And so, you know, it's sort of the hedging mentality, which I am more than familiar with when it comes to giving out takes. But I get it. But it's one of those things where it's like, it doesn't mean anything. And then you'll see the opposite is true, right? If the Falcons come out and struggle against the Jets offensively, their starters and whatnot, then you'll see the anti-Sark people. Like, see, I told you Sark sucks. And this is a sign of things to come. And then you'll get the more pervasive narrative, which is preseason doesn't matter, but this is a troubling sign of things to come, and hopefully the Falcons will figure it out. And then you'll get the pro-Sark people that will be like, see, the preseason doesn't matter. But it's like, wait, but if the Falcons had performed well, you would have said that the preseason does matter. But because they didn't, it doesn't matter. And this is the point I'm trying to illustrate here is the thing you have to be worried about with the preseason is confirmation bias. And I'll use sort of my expectations from the 2016 season and going into that preseason as an illustrating point to what I'm talking about. And as many of you guys know, I was not that high on the Falcons going into the 2016 season. I'm going to still be taking grief for that for the next 10 years, which is fine. I don't care. But look, for those to rehash what I sort of thought going into that 2016 season, I was not particularly high on the offseason moves. I was not particularly high on Kyle Shanahan at the time. I wasn't anti-Shanahan. I was never a fire Shanahan guy. But essentially what I thought the offense would look like in 2015 is what they wound up looking like in 2016. I thought because they didn't have a great supporting cast around Julio Jones going in that 2015 season, I thought Kyle Shanahan would be able to effectively sort of distribute the support amongst the other talented players, the other talent of players, even though none of those guys were exceedingly great talented, showed great talent prior to that season, that 2015 season. And then we saw for like a 6-game run where Devontae Freeman did outstanding. But outside of that, there wasn't really a whole lot of talent around Julio Jones. And one of the big issues, at least my big takeaway from that 2015 season, was that they sort of lived and died as some previous Falcons offense under Cutter and company had done, by the success and failure and largely the health of Julio Jones in that 2015 season. And so when we didn't see, basically, my expectation was Julio's the sun. He's 50% of the offense, but the other 50% will be evenly distributed between Jacob Tammy and Justin Hardy and Roddy White and Hankerson and Freeman and Coleman and all these other guys, that you didn't need those guys to come out and be playmakers each and every week. You just needed them to do it like 3 or 4 times a year, and it would just alternate who are going to be the two or three guys that step up this week. And we did see that a little bit early in that season. The Giants game is it's a prominent example of that in the 2015 season. But it didn't hold. You know, at a certain point, Julio got hurt and the offense really hit a wall, you know, once Devontae Freeman is really starting that 49ers game, but not the rehash 2015. And so basically what ended up happening is because that didn't happen, my expectations were not met in 2015. My belief was that in 2016, they weren't going to be met again. And that was a big reason why I was down on the Sanu signing, because I thought they needed to sign another playmaker to take the pressure off of Julio Jones. And Mohamed Sanu is not that playmaker. Travis Benjamin, at least due to his potential as a vertical threat and a dangerous vertical threat, could be that playmaker. Now, fortunately for the Falcons, in hindsight, and at the time when I was complaining about the Sanu signing in March, I couldn't see this move coming. I think the Falcons basically got that player when they wound up getting Taylor Gabriel, and fortunately they also added Aljack Robinson. And so what you saw in 2016 was the team able to do the things that I was expecting in 2015, where Julio is 50% of the offense and the other 50% is evenly distributed among the other players, and you had Freeman, you had a big year from Coleman, which I was not expecting based off of his 2015 season. You saw Sanu, you saw how effective Robinson and Gabriel were in that 2016 year, and you saw a tight end unit that, while none of those individual players in Tammy, Toilolo, and Hooper were superstars, you saw an offensive coordinator, I think, through his play calling with a lot of the misdirection stuff and the play action stuff, was able to make those three guys collectively into one of the more productive tight ends in the league. I think if you, I might be misquoting the numbers off of memory, but like I remember, like they probably, the three of those guys combined for like 75 catches and like 800 yards and like 9 touchdowns or something like that, which is, you know, if that was in one player, you'd be like, oh my God, this is the most amazing thing that could ever happen. You know, that's one of the best tight ends in the league is basically what I'm saying. And so you saw basically what I thought we would see in 2015 actually happened in 2016. And so in hindsight, I can certainly say what I got wrong was writing off the team, you know, after that 2015 season, simply because I didn't see the thing that I thought I was going to see. And hopefully the thing that I learned from that is not to do that quite to the degree. We'll find out if that winds up being true this upcoming season. I'm at least doing a better job of leaving the door open for possibilities that I don't necessarily are necessarily gung-ho about thinking will happen, but could happen. And so essentially the reason I explain that to you guys is then when we go into the 2016 preseason, and I remember saying this, and probably the only thing I got right about 2016 was I remember saying this to somebody or tweeting this at some point, was if you're buying Falcon stock about the team's potential this upcoming 2016 season, you're essentially buying Kyle Shanahan stock. And at that time, again, while I wasn't an anti-Shanahan guy, I was certainly not going to die on the Shanahan is a really good hill that you saw some people willing to die on, and you still see some people willing to die on that Sark hill as well. I'm not going to die on that Sark hill, certainly not. And I wasn't willing to die on the Shanahan hill. You know, I know when the mob is angry and they got the pitchforks and torches out, I'm not going to necessarily stand in front and take a bullet for anybody in that situation. But like, and so what you saw subsequently in 2016 was the proving of that notion of if you're buying Falcon stock, you're buying Shanahan stock. And if you bought both those teams, those guys stock, you would have wound up being very correct about the 2016 team. But getting back to the whole notion of the preseason, the confirmation bias. And because I had this low expectation of that team going into that 2016 summer, because of all the reasons I outlined, and thinking that the team was probably a 7 or 8 win team or whatever I thought at the time, when they struggled in that preseason, I was like, yep, see, this is what I'm talking about. And then you saw that sort of get compounded going into the regular season when we saw the struggles in that week one game against Tampa Bay. And it's one of those things where it's like, you got to be wary of the confirmation bias. So example, and I use this example to illustrate what I was talking about before. If you're of a person of the mindset that the Falcons offense is going to be great, if you come out and see them perform well in as a starters, at least in some of these preseason games, you're going to come out and be like, see, I told you. And you got to be like, you just got to throw that stuff away. You, whatever you think the team is going to be, only is going to happen in September. You're not going to get a glimpse of that in August. I mean, you could, but you're not going to really know, is the point I'm trying to make. And really sort of illustrating the point of you have to be wary of that confirmation bias because it's going to skew your perception and you're going to think you're seeing things during the preseason that matter that really don't matter. And I say all that because it's really only after the 2016 season that I truly grasped what the preseason is truly about. Like I always like, yeah, the preseason doesn't matter, but I was one of those people that was going, but, you know, blah, 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 blah. And it was only after 2016 where I was like, there is no but. The preseason doesn't matter. That's it, period. Now, where I do think the preseason is valuable, again, is when it comes to evaluating the roster. And I think that's all that it is. And I think when you're trying to read into the performance of a group or a unit based off of a preseason game, like you go back to that Dolphins game where the Falcons got dominated. You'd be like, well, what about that Dolphins game where the Falcons offensive line got destroyed? Well, the real issue in that game was James Stone and Ryan Schrader and a couple of individual players. So what did the Falcons do? They swapped out individuals. They didn't necessarily say we got to replace all five starters because they all performed poorly against the Dolphins and Earl Mitchell and Derek Shelby, which, you know, I've argued in the past, Derek Shelby whooping Ryan Schrader's butt in that game was the number one reason why he got signed by the Falcons the following offseason. But I digress. And that's the, you know, we all focus on the James Stone. I'm team James Stone, so I got to deflect off my guy. But, like, we always focus on James Stone really struggling in that game. But Ryan Schrader got his butt kicked in that game, too. But the point is, the correct conclusion was to look at the individual players that did not perform up to par, in that event, James Stone primarily, and say, we can't do this. We can't go into the season with this guy. We can't throw away our entire offensive line or now suddenly believe that our entire offense is going to struggle. But it's like this individual player is what matters. And so I'll wrap this thing up by saying that I think, to be honest with you, if you're the type of person, you know, and obviously you are because you listen to a daily podcast, so you have an unhealthy obsession with this team, don't worry, you're in a safe place. You're in a safe space because everybody else listening to this podcast is sick in the head like you are. And of course, the host of this podcast is the sickest individual of them all. So I'm not saying that as a negative towards anybody, but we're all like-minded, crazy people. But if you're going to be obsessed with the team, like the honest truth is you can decide to go on vacation every August and just go into a media blackout, go to, I don't know, Bali for 3 weeks over the preseason and not watch a single snap of preseason football. And to be honest with you, your assessment of the team's upcoming regular season should not be any different. That's kind of the point I'm trying to make is that's kind of the correct way to go. Just skip these 3 weeks. Whatever you think today, just keep thinking that thing. Because what's going to happen over the next three plus games and three plus weeks isn't going to affect, shouldn't affect that. Even though we all are human and we all will let it affect our opinions to a certain extent. What the preseason, if you're going to be the crazy, unhealthy, obsessed person that listens to a daily podcast about the Atlanta Falcons or any football team, the reason why you should be listening to this podcast is not because it's going to affect your opinion of the team, right, in the preseason. It's going to affect, because you're obsessed like I am and so many of these other crazies are obsessed with the position battles because that's what really matters. And so you're obsessed with Eric Saubert versus Logan Paulson because that's what the preseason is helping inform us about. It's informing us about Marvin Hall versus Justin Hardy versus Ito Smith for the return position. It's informing us about who's the second best gunner on the team, Russell Gage or Marvin Hall or Reggie Davis or whatever. It's informing us about, is Foye Olakun, you know, ready to be the fifth linebacker in this roster? Is he ready to challenge Kamal Ishmael for being the number one backup on the team? or is he just a special teams guy? Right? It's about, is JT Jones, has he made the leap as an individual player? Is it? It's about Ty Sambrelo versus Austin Pastor. It's about Luke McNitt versus Ricky Ortiz. These are the things that preseason is telling us about. And these are the things that your opinions can sway back and forth based off of the performance over these upcoming preseason games, depending upon these performances and whatnot. And your opinions can sway on those issues. But in terms of being like, this Falcons offense is going to be poised to come out against the Philadelphia Eagles, like, no. Like, going up against the Jets, some of their first-string offense for a series, or their first-string defense for a series, does not tell you anything about what they're going to do for 12 series against the Eagles in week one. And I can't reiterate that point enough. And so, you know, even though, Andy, I don't necessarily think you were saying this in your email, I do think you need to, you and everybody else, just basically need to ignore what happens in the preseason as far as the team goes. If we're going to talk about what happens in the preseason as far as it goes for Logan Paulson versus Eric Saubert, yes, let's talk about that. But in terms of saying, like, this means something about what this team is going to do between September and January and hopefully beyond that point, I think you have to just take that thought that you're going to have. And we all are human. We all are fallible. We're all going to think it. We're going to see this offense do well and be like, yep, that's what we're going to see more of in the regular season. And the or we'll see the opposite and say, oh, I hope we don't see more of that in the regular season. We're all fallible in that way. We all have fallen into that trap of thinking. But you just got to take that thought that you're going to go tweet about or post on Facebook or get into a big conversation with your dad about or whatever, and just throw it away. It's meaningless. It doesn't mean anything, guys. That's the larger point I'm trying to make. And I want to stress that, is that when you actually dig deep, it's like, no, that notion that, you know, when the team is bad, it's shown that in the preseason. Like, not really. You know, I guess I could go back and look at, like, how the Falcons performed in that 2013 preseason. And maybe they did perform really poorly that summer, right? Or in 2014. Maybe they did really perform. The starters did really perform poorly that summer. But they also performed poorly in the summer of their 2016 Super Bowl run. And certainly over the last 3 years, that was the worst preseason they've had. And yet, we saw the results there. And so I guess that's, long story short, that's what I want to make clear. So again, just using some points, my own experience in terms of overanalyzing any analysis of the preseason, like you say, you got to avoid overanalysis and you got to avoid putting the team truly under the microscope. I agree with you. But I kind of think any analysis when it comes to the team, when we talk about individual players, we can get into the nitty gritty. We can dig deep on Eric Saubert and the subtleties of, you know, how balanced is he? Where is his hand placement on his blocks, right? How sudden is he out of his breaks when he's running that corner route? Is he good at option route? Like, we can get into the over analysis there. Now, is that healthy? No, but we're all sick and crazy people. Again, you're in a safe space. But in terms of trying to apply that to, this means that the team is going to do, the offense is going to do something, the defense is going to do something, none of that matters. None of it matters. It's again, and for no other reason other than the fact that the teams don't game plan for the preseason. There's absolutely no game. Relatively speaking, the amount of coaching and preparation that goes into one regular season game versus what goes in a preseason game is night and day. It's a drop in a pond versus an entire ocean. Now, that's a little bit hyperbolic, but I need to illustrate the point where they're basically just going out there for a scrimmage that has pads and whistles and is in a stadium in front of a live crowd with officiating and whatnot. It's quote unquote for real. Like, the hitting is real in a preseason game, but it's essentially a scrimmage. That's all it is. The regular season is an actual game where your job is on the line. Your job is not on the line or at least for the coaches. Let me say that. The players, it is. For the coaches, your job is not on the line in the preseason. It's all about just getting in the habit of gearing up to the regular season. You just practice. You're basically practicing the things that you're going to do in the regular season so you can be prepared for that. But it does not indicate what you're going to do in the regular season. So if there's any reason to point out why the preseason doesn't matter, it's because the coaches are doing the relative minimum amount of coaching that they can possibly do in a preseason game. And then when they ramp that up 100-fold for the regular season, that's why you can't apply one to the other. If I could summarize 30 minutes of a podcast into 3 minutes, into one point. But I'm sure we will talk about this as the summer goes on. If you guys feel like Andy feels, and you can find compelling evidence to disagree with everything I just said for the last 35 plus minutes, then by all means, hit me up on Twitter. I'm at FalkFans. If it's podcast related, just send it over to Locked On Falcons. That's the show's Twitter handle. Of course, you can find the email address again is lockedonfalcons@mail.com. If you prefer Facebook as your preferred social media platform, it's Locked On Falcons over there. Give us a like while you're there. And of course, you can leave a comment at lockedonfalcons.com or falcfans.com, where the show is posted daily. Until then, guys.
You are Locked On Falcons, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.